Hello and welcome to the brand new Trev and Ben podcast.
You can tell we sweated for a long time over the name.
Yeah, well, I said to you, about what, 5 minutes before we started recording. Are you happy with the name, the Trev and Ben podcast?
I mean, it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I said to you, perhaps we should come up with something a little bit fancier, a little bit funnier, perhaps something a bit witty.
Maybe a clever pun.
But could we be asked?
No.
We ain't got time for that. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So it's been quite a while since you and me have sat in a room with a couple of microphones.
It has. How long has it been?
I think it's, what is it now? Nearly 3 months?
Yeah.
3 months of an enforced sabbatical.
Yeah. What have, polite way of putting it.
What have you been up to, Ben? What's been going on?
I recently found one of the most incredible stories I've ever seen, and I thought, I've got nowhere to tell this.
Have you found that, you know, since we've sort of been off and out of doing this stuff, that you sort of, things happen, you think, well, I need to tell someone about that, but I've got no one to tell anymore, because basically you're my only friend. So, you know, I've got no one else to talk. I've basically talked to nobody for 3 months.
Yeah, we sort of knew for a long time we were going to be doing this, so all the good stuff, we can't even tell each other, because we're saving it for this.
I know. Well, basically, this Trev and Ben podcast, we're going to be doing one every week, and it's kind of going to evolve over the weeks. We're going to be talking to some interesting guests. We've got a great guest to talk to in just a little while.
Very interesting.
An old friend of ours who's been to somewhere very, very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Yet again. And basically, for the last 3 months, I've just been doing a lot of sitting around and contemplating life.
Crying.
A lot of crying. Getting more and more wound up over things. Things that shouldn't be winding me up, but I've had time on my hands to get wound up about them.
Okay.
I've also turned another year older.
Right. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So that's been quite a difficult thing.
Oh, you've not done it easily, no? You've not accepted it.
I think 42 has been harder to accept than turning 40. Turning 40 is like a celebration, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose
so. But 42, you really start to think, God, death, he might as well be just standing outside the door now.
Oh,
just,
right.
Just waiting to ring the bell.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's been awful. So I've been thinking about things that affect you as you get older and the way you think and things that you do. So over the weeks, we're going to be discussing age.
Okay.
And from all perspectives, because I think it doesn't really matter how old you are. You could be in your 20s, and there's still things at that point you think, God, I must be getting old because I'm doing A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And that just changes as you get older, but I've noticed a lot of weird things I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be talking about that over the next few weeks. And also, since we were last together, I've been accused of great perversions.
I know.
Oh, really?
Yes. Somebody sent me the story.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you a bit more about that in a bit.
So, like I said, I've had this amazing story that I found.
Mm. And you've been sitting on this. How long have you been sitting on this story?
Oh, a few weeks now.
Really? And I love the fact that you've been sitting there going, I can't tell him.
No.
I can't tell him. Because the thing is, we've barely seen each other either in the last 3 months, have we? We've met, I think this is the third time we've met in the 3 months. And really, when we've met, there's just been, frankly, a lot of just consoling each other that we've been out of work and we're scrabbling around trying to find some work. So you've been sitting on this. I bet you've been waiting to tell someone. Mrs. Ben's probably heard this hundreds of times.
Oh, she has. Yeah. She has. Now, what I've decided to do with this is I think I'd like you to read it aloud for the first time.
Okay.
And it's, I'm going to warn you, it's not a very easy listen. It's a bit grisly.
Oh, God, what are you doing to me?
But I'm not even going to say any more.
Okay.
I'm going to pass you the story.
All right.
And I just want you to read it aloud, if you don't mind.
Okay. Right, well, the headline that I can see just says arrest.
So you know it's off to a good start.
Okay, all right.
Heavy stuff.
Okay, already I've seen the first line. A woman has been arrested for chopping off her husband's penis.
I told you.
Now, before I go any further with this, I just want to check in. This isn't you and Mrs. Ben. When I said Mrs. Ben's heard this story 100 times over, I didn't think she was being confronted with it. Remember this, love? You've got it in a little pickle jar, like Rasputin.
No, it's Rasputin. What happens to Rasputin's knob?
It's pickled.
Is it?
Well, it was huge. It's in a pickle jar.
Wow.
If you want to, you can Google an image of Rasputin's pickled knob.
I sort of don't want to and sort of really want to see that.
You will. You will see it now. There is no way you will not be able to stop yourself. Probably by the end of this podcast, you would have looked it up. Okay.
Right, carry on with the story.
James Frabbert, I mean, I'm liking his name,
mm-hmm.
61. He's 61 years old. I mean, I don't know, there's a sadness around the age, isn't there? Mm. You know, he's had it for 61 years. And, you know, it's not old.
Yeah.
But it's possibly past its prime. But you still want it, don't you?
You absolutely. It's something you never want to lose, you know, it's, at any age.
It's like a nice bit of steak, isn't it? You know, it might be a day out of days. I'm still going to have it. I'm still going to want that.
Please continue with the story.
James claims he was tied up by Victoria, who's 56, who then severed his manhood with a knife at their home.
Continue reading.
The case is being investigated. This is ridiculous. This isn't a true story.
I swear, I've double checked it. It's true. I promise. I've double checked it. It's legit. It's real. Go on.
The case is being investigated by a Major Jason Wank, who said officers located the lopped off todger and packed it in ice.
Yeah.
Major Wank.
Oh dear.
Revealed they were called to a disturbance at the home in Newport. Just before 4 a.m. one morning.
That'll do.
Major Wank.
I mean, he's the guy to be investigating that crime, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if my todger is ever separated from my body, I want a Major Wank on the case.
You don't want ironically named police officers investigating that crime, do you?
The thing is, this is in America, I think,
yes.
Isn't it? Right. So I don't think Wank is an Americanism that they would understand. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I had the same conversation with Mrs. Ben, right. The exact same. She said to me, is Wank an American surname? And I said, I don't think
Wanker
so.
Wanker is.
Is it really?
I remember as a kid watching an episode of Mork and Mindy, yeah. Right? And this used to be on 6:30 on a Thursday night on Channel 4 or whatever, and I'm probably 10. I've just learnt the word wanker, and I think it's one of the funniest words I've ever heard. And I'm watching Mork and Mindy, and they're in one of them own a music shop, but not Mork and Mindy, but one of the characters.
Right.
And I'm sure there was a landlord of the building called Mr. Wanker. And I just remember finding that one of the funniest things ever. So Wanker and
was
Wank.
Was he a nasty character?
No, I don't think it... Well, I can't remember, to be honest.
Right, because I wonder if they knew what they were doing.
I don't know, because I think in America, it's more a jerk.
Oh, right, okay.
So did he get it put back on?
If you skip to the very last couple of lines.
It's not yet known if the penis can be reattached. Oh, my God. John Bobbitt. I remember John Bobbitt.
Yeah, he references him.
He could be put back on. He's a yes. porn star now,
he
isn't
is.
He?
Yeah.
I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
No need for a Major Wank.
I mean, look, there is a market. I don't know. I'm told there's a market for sort of mature porn.
Right.
Maybe James, who's 61, remember?
Mm.
Maybe there's a market for him there once it's popped back on.
If it's put back on.
Even if it's not, there's still a market there. I bet if you had it in a jar, you could still make money from that online.
I mean, once it's reattached, though, would you want to go into porn? You'd be pretty careful with it, wouldn't you?
I'm assuming they attach it pretty firmly. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you're not putting it back on with a bit of gaffer tape, are they? Do you know what I mean? I'd imagine there's a lot of intricate stitching.
You're probably right. I want to apologise that our very first return to the air has come with this story.
On the brand new Trev and Ben podcast over the weeks, we're going to be joined by a various assortment of people with differing views and opinions on life.
Yeah, now and again.
And on the very first Trev and Ben podcast, we're delighted to welcome a bit of an old friend.
Hell yeah.
His name's Andy Drury, and he is an adventure tourist.
Yeah, you might know him from the Netflix series Dark Tourist, where he was going around with David Farrier.
Yeah, and we spoke to him, about a year or so back, didn't we? And we heard sort of loads of his stories of previous trips and visits.
To some of the most dangerous places on Earth. Incredible stories.
I mean, he's been on the front line in Iraq, taking on ISIS. He's been to Mogadishu. He's been to Afghanistan. And he puts himself out there on the line, but he does it all for a sort of humanitarian purpose, really, because he gets involved with some of the locals.
Yeah,
he helps out. He's helped out a local. It was a basketball team, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. So he doesn't go out there just for the thrill, although that's part of it. But there's a real humanitarian aim to his visits, and he does a lot of good. And the last time we spoke to him, he said, "Well, the next time I'm somewhere, why don't you try and catch up with me while I'm there?" So that's what we've done. And he was in Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, extraordinary place to be, although slightly safer than the last time he was there. But in fact, the day we spoke to him, he had a bit of a day of it.
It's been an eventful day.
Has it?
Because the last week, the Israelis have agreed to admitting to sending drones over and killing some locals. So to get about today, we've had to get into a tank. We tried to get through a checkpoint. They wouldn't allow us, so we got into a taxi and hid down the back behind the taxi to get through into the front line I was at before.
Wow.
So it's been eventful.
Wow.
So day one on ground has been pretty good, although bit of red tape, which it always is in Iraq. It's always the same. Tomorrow, the ISIS brides. I'm off to Mosul, where they've been held prisoner in a camp, and into Mosul in itself will have to be done illegally, because you can't get into Mosul without doing it that way at the moment, because the tension's quite high here, because, as I say, the Israelis have been sending drones over, or claiming they have. So there's a big anti-Western feeling at the moment in certain areas. Where I'm at the moment in Erbil's okay, because it's Kurd, but Mosul's not. It's under Iranian army. So tomorrow will be quite a nerve-wracking day, but interesting.
So what's the process? How do you have to sort of hide in a truck? How's that work?
When it's back of a taxi going up back roads, we're bypassing the checkpoints, because the first checkpoint we went to, we had our passports taken. They'd returned us and basically said we couldn't come out of the Kurdistan Iraq part, and we wanted to get to Kirkuk. So unusually, I had a taxi driver at that border checkpoint approach us and said, "Look, I've heard what's happened. I can get you in going through people's back gardens and missing checkpoints," which is unusual for me, because I don't want that. I mean, it's against my rules, really. You always go with what, and I didn't have a good feeling about it, but my desperation to get to this area. So I decided I'm going to do it anyway. So we got this taxi driver. We actually literally go through people's back gardens, back roads, across fields, unmarked roads, just to get rid of these checkpoints. Keeping a low profile, undercover, through any ones that they got, even in the farmers' fields there are, because ISIS are still active as guerrilla. So there's a lot of suicide attacks here at the moment. So I spent today ducking down and avoiding checkpoints. Not the advisable thing to do, but it's the only way to get about. And I've only got 4 days here, so I couldn't afford any fuck-ups. So we had to do it that way. So I managed to get to the front line. Found that most of the people I met, two of them are dead, unfortunately, and the others have moved to Basra. So there was nobody, because the town that I went in, all the Sunnis have been kicked out. The Turkmen have been left. So I couldn't meet up with any of my old friends, because they weren't there, and two of them have been killed. The place was called Bashir, and Bashir, they took a massive, great big siege to try and get it back. My friend, unfortunately, got killed, which is... I'd only met him for 4, 5, 6 hours, but it was enough to become personal with him. And he just realises that's the nature of war. It's seen as life. But coming back, I felt I failed, because we couldn't go on. But I've got details. So early next year, I'm going to return again to see if I can hunt the rest of them down.
Just tell us, because obviously we know you've been there before. Does it feel safer this time, or is it still as scary?
Last time I was here, going into Kirkuk, because Kirkuk, you'll probably see if I showed you my video footage, like the driver told us, don't stop in Kirkuk, because he said he's all right, but as a Westerner, you're likely to be in trouble. So we stopped for lunch in Kirkuk. It's not kind of against the advice of whatever. And so that's more tense. Kirkuk is certainly more tense than it was before, because now it's the Iraqi army have got control. When I was there last, the Kurds had it. So, and they're anti-Western at the moment. There's a big anti-Western feeling driving right through Iraq at the moment, apart from this Kurd bit that we're in at the moment. So that's more tense. Mosul, I've never been to, nor as many. The only people I know who've been to Mosul are journalists. So tomorrow will be a big eye-opener. I don't know any common normal citizens like me, but if you'd say I'm normal, I doubt Ben or yourself would say I'm normal, would you?
So you mentioned having to smuggle yourself into Mosul. So what would be the punishment from the authorities if you were caught doing that?
There's a big question. At the moment, nobody knows because I've asked them that. I suppose you could get locked up for a period of time. It'd be quite a bit of a diplomatic incident as well, being a Westerner. If we'd been caught today, I mean, we went off track. We were refused. We went to the checkpoint. They've refused it. They sent us out, kicked us out of going into Kirkuk. So if they'd caught us going through the back roads, I would imagine it would be an imprisonable offence. Not too sure. We asked the question. But ironically, we went through the same checkpoint coming back. So we kind of, it's too late. They never, it just looks and let us go. But I think if we'd been caught, we'd have been in big trouble. I reckon I could have caused a bit of a diplomatic incident. And wow. Thankfully I didn't.
So do you get the feeling that tensions are rising again, having perhaps settled for a bit, it's all kind of bubbling up again?
Well, yeah, because ironically, it's the Iran-Israel situation is causing it, because they're using sort of some drones here, and they've killed, I mean, we couldn't get right into Bashir because of what the Israelis have done to some Iranian points in Iraq, or what they believe were Iranian, but they weren't, they were Kurd or Peshmerga. So that's caused us issues, because now we couldn't get where we wanted to, although we did. But it's getting the tensions higher than I thought it would be. Mosul, for sure. Mosul, once again, I'm not allowed in Mosul, but I've got enough contacts to make sure I can get in there. I mean, Mosul is a flattened city. There's nothing left of it. We all probably remember, if any of us watched the news, there was in and out fighting inside the houses. People have gone back to their houses to, like, bomb sites. So I'll get an insight into that tomorrow. And that's the bit I like, as I told you, I'm a kind of people person. So it'd be great to spend a bit of time with some people, make some new friends.
And it must sort of be quite nice to perhaps see communities rebuilding, you know, not just physically their buildings, but as a community as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this bit of footage you'll see, I mean, you've got an opener, because I've just signed a deal to be in a movie. So part of this will be in a movie that will be in cinemas. I think we've got to finish filming by the end of next year. And anyway, Trevor, and it's about time you two, Trevor and Ben, come out here, I think.
I think we're all right.
Are you going to sit there for the rest of your life talking to me about this? My next trip's in January in Somalia, so maybe get you on that trip.
That'd be great.
He doesn't mean it.
I can't even show his face.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
We're becoming friends now, so I think you need to do a trip with me.
I'll give it some thought.
Well, you haven't given it no freaking thought, have you? Not at all.
And what about the family? What about your family? Are they still
not here?
They still worried that you're doing this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the next call would be to them back. My wife, they're kind of used to it, but she's... I kind of down it down a little bit. The conversation I'm having with you will be different to the one I'm having her. So she'll listen to your podcast when it's out and then hear what I really thought. So I dare say I'm in trouble once again. I think she's happy when I say I'm back. She knows I do. This is the sort of thing I do. She's actually changed from being annoyed to kind of proud of what I've done.
Yeah.
I think Dark Toys changed her mind because we're involved with that orphanage. And I think she knows the reasons why I do it. She knows that I'm a voyeurist. She knows that I've got loads of friends here, and hopefully I do a bit good as well. Mm. And hopefully she sees that, and she does. I just lie a little bit.
I also wouldn't tell her that you chose to speak to us before her.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. That, well, do you know what? She's going to, isn't she? You pair of sods have probably put this in, I dare say. She will know now, won't she? Eh?
Hey, look, Andy, we'll let you go because I'm sure you've got other phone calls to do, but we really appreciate your time.
Lovely talking to you too. Anyway, all the best this evening. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Andy.
Take care.
So that was Andy Drury on FaceTime, which was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he actually sort of did that thing where, because I said to him, you didn't hear it in the podcast because it was sort of too visual, but I sort of said to him, I said, can you sort of do that thing where you point your camera outside the window where you're at, because I want to get a real sense of it. And even that just felt like slightly dangerous.
Yeah, I didn't really like you doing that.
Did you?
No, I didn't want you.
I didn't want to make him a sitting target.
No, give someone a shot for very long.
Great publicity, though.
Yeah, it would have been.
You know, but he's such a top guy, Andy. And we're actually going to catch up with him in a few weeks' time, once he's back safe and sound from Iraq. But, I mean, he's an extraordinary man. And I think he's going to be doing some stuff next year that you'll be able to see on telly. We'll, of course, keep you up to date with all of that. And we'll be speaking to him, hopefully, many more times on the brand new Trev and Ben podcast. So as I said earlier, one of the things we want to do on the Trev and Ben podcast is kind of talk about age, really.
Yeah.
Because I've turned another year older during our time away, and I'm now 42.
Yes.
Okay. And that's it. I don't know why I found that a very difficult age to accept. 40 just, I didn't like it, but it didn't feel quite as foreboding as 42.
Okay, so 42 has hit you harder than 40.
Yeah, I think it's because I had in my head as a teen, I had all these things that by 42, I don't know why I picked 42, but, you know, all these things by 42 I would have achieved.
Okay, and how are you doing?
Not great.
Okay.
Not great. I mean, I've achieved some of them, because one of the things was to do a radio show. Done that. Been there, done it. Got a T-shirt.
Did that, yeah.
but there's a lot of things I haven't achieved. Okay.
Right.
But that's by the by. The fact of the matter is, I am now 42, and I am getting older, and I'm beginning to behave like I would have expected older people to behave.
In what way?
In terms of lack of patience. I have always been a very patient man.
You have. I can vouch for that.
You've known me long enough to know I'm a very patient man. And in certain circumstances, I am still a very patient man.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm in a situation where I'm training somebody, for example. You know, it doesn't happen very often, but I used to. I think I'd still be quite patient in that sort of situation.
Well, you were good enough to put up with me, trying to teach me, so...
Yeah, I mean, I gave up in the end. but what I've noticed is the impatience I have, with other people now, just in everyday circumstances, and the length of time between being calm and being completely wound up has decreased significantly. I go from zero to furious within seconds. So things like... the one that really gets me is being in the supermarket, right? And
yeah.
if the person on the checkout starts talking to me and therefore spends way too much time in between scanning of items.
Yes, that is very annoying.
And I used to think, oh, that's fine. I used to actually engage in the conversation, you know, adding to the waiting time. In
Why?
Some ways. Well, because it felt the polite thing to do. Again, it's not just a lack of patience now. I think the politeness is going out the window.
Oh God!
So you know, so I was in the supermarket the other day, and she's a lovely lady, and she could see I was doing my nan's shopping, right? Because my nan was sat down on the seat,
right?
And she's like, "Oh, is that your gran?" I think she said, "Is that your mum?" First, which I took as a slight kick in the teeth.
Yeah,
to be frank with you, I'm only 42. My nan's 87. I mean, I don't know. That could be a compliment to my nan.
It could be.
And that's the way I chose to take it. But she started saying, "Oh, so is that your nan? Oh, yes. And how is she?" And I'm thinking, well, this ain't a doctor's checkup, is it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to buy her food for the week. So I mean, let's dispense with these pleasantries and just scan.
You've already gone a bit too far. Why not just do an internet shop and have it done?
Well, she likes to go to the shop, my nan.
She likes to see
the things that are available.
So, it's a day out, okay.
So there's still that element for, yes, if I had my choice, of course, an internet shop. I mean, if I never had to set foot in a supermarket ever again, I would be the happiest man alive.
Okay.
So I sort of went, yeah, great, and thought she'll get the message that I'm not here to converse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for a quick scan of the stuff. And because I'm also a quick packer as well.
Right.
Because that's the other thing that annoys me. People who are slow packing. Do you know what I mean? I know some people have a system to their packing. Just get the stuff, get it in a bag, and get out.
Well, you need to be a bit careful. You can't be putting like a multi-pack of dog food cans on top of eggs or anything like that.
Of course not, but that's not going to take you long. You just put the eggs to one side. What I like to do is almost take the item from their hand as they've scanned it, put it in a bag. None of this piling stuff as it comes through. I'm as quick as she's putting them through, they're going in the bag, right? So that's another annoying thing. People who spend too long packing.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. So anyway, I said to her, yeah, great. And I thought she'll get the message now. And then she stopped scanning again. Mm-hmm. And she went, oh, what, do you bring her out every week? It's like, yeah.
Wow, oh. You're being quite rude.
Well, it's not. I didn't see it as rude. I just saw it as, you know, yes. I don't know what else you want me to say here, love. Keep putting it through, keep scanning. And, oh, mate, honestly, by the end of it, the whole scanning process must have taken about 10 minutes.
Right, well, you know what I'm going to say to you, don't you?
What?
You know what I'm going to say. You know exactly what I'm going to say. If you have to go to the supermarket because it's part of the experience, but you hate the scanning slowness.
Yeah.
Self-scan.
They don't have it at the
self-checkout.
They haven't got it at the one I go to.
Where are you going that doesn't have self-checkout?
It's a little Marks and Spencers, and I don't think they've got... Well, if they have, do you know what I mean? It's a good plan. If they've got it, I should actually take note next time I'm there.
You'll end up going spare at the machines, because often they...
Well, no, I do. I hate them. I hate them. They've got that little red light. The little red light of humiliation.
Oh, yeah.
That flashes, and you have to sort... And you almost have to put your hand up. It's like being at school. Can I have some help, please? Mm. And then they come over, and they're like, what is it? And I go, well, I'm trying to put, I don't know, a cucumber through, and it's coming up as a kumquat. You know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, I hate the red light, because it's usually because I'm trying to buy some beer.
Oh, so, booze and that sort of thing. Yeah,
so
you need
the person to come over and say, do you look over 25?
Oh.
And that's something I've noticed with myself aging, is that the analysis is getting shorter and shorter to the point where now they don't even bother.
Yeah, well, but that's a good thing. I quite like that.
It's not. I just think to them... Can you at least just pretend?
But wouldn't you be...
Stroke my ego a little bit.
No. I get annoyed if I'm asked my age.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like I've passed that phase in my life. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
But I did once. I'm going back probably 10 years, so I would have been in the early 30s, right? And I was asked for my ID as I bought a certificate 15 DVD.
Really?
Yeah. It must have been an 18. Sure, they wouldn't ask for ID for a 15, would they?
Well, they would, yeah. They'd take that just as seriously if you're not the right age. Yeah.
I remember being a bit annoyed by it.
I bet it was a youngster, though, wasn't it? It's probably someone on day one who's been told it's better to be safe than sorry.
No, to be fair to the woman, it wasn't a young... It was sort of, you know, a sort of middle-aged woman. Because when I sort of said... I think I made a joke of it, you know. I was a bit annoyed that I'd been asked for that. But then on the other hand, you sort of think, well, okay. And I sort of joked as I sort of showed her my driving licence and said, you know, I'm over 30.
Yeah.
And she said, we've got to ask. I thought, well, you haven't got to, have you?
No,
I haven't got to.
They do. I can stick up for them because I've been in that same situation where I've been the person that has to hand over the goods and I have to check, because if they're under 25, then you could end up, you know, with a criminal conviction and sacked and all that. It's just not worth it. And I ended up IDing someone because I was so nervous about it. I said, oh, I think you might fall into the category of looking under 25.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Smoothie.
Take it as a compliment.
Hi, I think you are. I mean, look, it's not me. It's not me. I think you look under 25. I really do. I may just be the delivery boy, but I really do think you look stunning for your age. But I have to ask.
She handed me a driver's license. She was 46.
Again, I mean, she would have probably been quite happy.
I think she was. Yeah. I got away with it.
I just get annoyed. it annoys me. So there's one area where patience in a supermarket has gone. I was in a supermarket the other day and I couldn't find what I wanted. And I'd mooch around a supermarket about three times. And in the end, it was like, well, why have you not got... Basically, I needed a couple of plastic containers, you know, sort of big plastic boxes, right? And they had them, and it said with lid. No lids. I'm walking around looking for the lids nowhere. No lid. What's the point of having boxes where it says come with lids and they don't have the lids?
Don't they attach the lid to the bottom of the box?
There was no lids.
Are you sure?
No lids. Yeah, they had one set of lids for boxes that weren't the size. No good to me at all. So I was furious by the end of that. So my patience is growing really thin. Now, you might think, well, that's an everyday thing, being in the supermarket.
Yeah.
It's an everyday annoyance. It doesn't matter what age you are, those annoyances are still there, because I know you get annoyed by people at the cigarette counter.
Livid.
Checking their lottery ticket number. And you, I mean, that's always wound you up.
If I get into power one day, and you never know, it might happen.
Well, at the moment, it's anyone can make it.
I am going to ban the National Lottery. It's gone.
Wow.
Or at least make it a criminal offence to not check it yourself, because it's on the internet. There is no excuse for queuing up, clogging up the supermarket kiosks, while I have to stand behind you because you're too thick to check the lottery numbers.
Whilst your lungs are getting a little bit of fresh air, you're getting furious. Come on, love, I need to clog it up with some old nicotine.
Oh, God. And then they pay for it. You know, then they'll buy scratch cards and pay in pennies and, oh, just get out. Just get out.
And you're 10 years younger than me. So imagine putting 10 years on that now. Imagine you at 42.
Well, I hate to rub salt into the wound, but I'm 11 years younger than you currently.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for that. Thanks very much. And then the other thing I've really noticed that is starting to really annoy me.
Yeah.
Because, again, as you get older, you sort of think, well, you know, time's finite. Let's say I get my 3 score year and 10.
Well, this is a cheery way to end the podcast. Time is finite. Death comes to us all.
Well, it does, right? And you think, I haven't got time for just pure wastage, right? So what I've noticed is it takes so long to get to the start of a television programme now.
Yeah.
So if I want to watch a television programme, I sit down, right, and I turn it on just before it starts. I don't want to see the adverts before it's on, okay? So I try and time it so I turn on maybe the last adverts on. But then you say, oh, I've got 2 trailers for something else that they're peddling to come.
Yeah.
Then I've got a little bit of witty banter from the continuity announcer, right? So already I've now been waiting 2 minutes for my program to start, right? Then the program finally starts. Oh, then you've got the sponsor thing, 10 seconds of another nonsense.
Yes.
Another bit of witty nonsense that isn't funny. I've got to sit through that. So now the time's ticking. I'm thinking, I could be dead by the time this show starts.
Why aren't you doing what the rest of the world does and recording it and fast-forwarding through all this rubbish?
Well, I mean, when I can, I do, but it's beside the point.
It's not.
It's beside the point. And then a TV show will start, and nearly all of them have about 2 minutes before you actually start the programme. It's 2 minutes of telling you what's coming up on the programme. I'm watching it. I don't need to know what's coming up on it. And I'm not lying, 2 minutes. I'm a big fan of The Repair Shop. I've told you about this show before.
You have.
By the way, if you've not seen The Repair Shop, you must watch it.
Right.
On the face of it, it doesn't sound that interesting. It's people fixing things.
Yeah.
But it's things that mean, they're sentimental objects, and their craftsmanship is extraordinary. And then the emotion that's involved, I'm often in tears watching it. I mean, there was one the other day, a guy bought an old radio, just a 1950s radio, but him and his late wife had bought it years ago. And
can you think of a more depressing way to end this podcast?
And they fixed it, and he came in, and he was bawling his eyes out.
Right.
And I defy you to not shed a tear as you watch that. So it's a great show. But my God, it does literally have 1 minute and 40-odd seconds of just pap, faffing about before we get to the start of the show. And I think the amount of time that's wasted.
But you know, for a show like that, where they're just sort of getting people in to fix some old crap, then they do need a lot of filler to fill 30 minutes.
No, they don't. I mean, they use a lot of filler when they're repairing stuff. But they don't need it, because the guy...
Oh, so you've still got the old trade-related humour there.
Still there, isn't it?
Never went.
There. What happens is they come in and they talk about the items. You don't need what's coming up. I'm going to see it. So that really annoys me. So that's... Whoa.
All right, mate, calm down.
Just furious about it. Well, that's almost it for the first of our brand new Trev and Ben podcast.
I think we got away with it.
I think so, but before we go, I just need to put the record straight about something.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I've been accused by yourself...
Oh, yes.
...and a couple of other friends of great perversion.
Mm.
And I just want to make the point right now... that it's not me.
Well, I mean, the article speaks for itself.
Well, I got a message from a mate who said, you've been outed. That's right. The first thing I see on a message. And you think, oh, I mean, what's been uncovered? Because I mean, that's the scary thing, isn't it? Now,
yeah,
you think we've got so much stuff out there from our old podcast.
What have I said?
What have I said? What's been said? You know, am I having a Justin Trudeau moment? So I got a bit concerned. So I quickly went on to it, and basically, it's not that. But all I got was this: said that you've been out at Treff. A man has admitted to having sex with a plastic cone in a railway station.
Yep.
Trevor Smith appeared before magistrates to plead guilty to outraging public decency. It wasn't me.
So,
and the only reason I knew it wasn't me is because it said 38. And obviously, we already discovered I'm 42. And there was a time when I'd find a cone very attractive.
Yeah.
But these days, it's more difficult to get that excited about sort of things.
And if you can fill a cone, I mean, mazel tov. We did wonder what you've been doing in the last 3 months.
I've got quite a collection of cones. So there we are, the first episode of the new Trev and Ben podcast done.
Yeah, done.
Thanks very much for downloading. Thanks very much for listening. Subscribe and get in touch with us if you want about absolutely anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.